an interesting story in the end of Parshas Emor. What makes it interesting is that it's a story, right? Because what's Sefer Vayikra all about? Or even more broadly, mitzvahs, right? In other words, if you were to break up the five books, Bereishis, Shmos, and Bamidbar are Svarim of narrative, and Vayikra and Devarim are basically Svarim of mitzvahs. So then when you have a story in a sefer of mitzvah, so you got to wonder, like, what's it doing there, right? So it's like, we're going to read this story, and it's going to be even a little more confusing when we see that there seems to be, like, we're going to read a story, and then we're going to read stuff that doesn't seem to make sense in the context of the story, and we'll try to understand how this plays out. Because the story begins in Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Yud, Veitzei ben Isha Yisraelis, Vuhu ben Ish Mitzri. So a son of an Israelite woman goes out, or went out, and he is the son of an Egyptian, B'soch ben Israel. Okay, so his mother was, let's go through this, the mother was what?
Mother Jewish.
So the mother is Jewish, father is Egyptian. He goes out amongst the Bnei Yisrael, vayinatzu b'machaneh, and apparently they get into a fight. There's a fight. Ben Yisraelis v'ish Yisraeli. So there's a fight between this half-Jew and another full Jew, I guess. Vayikol ben Aisha ha-Yisraelis es ha-Sheim. Vayikalel, so then he curses. Right, he commits some kind of curse here. Vayikol, vayikalel. Moshe, they bring him to Moshe. V'shevimo, and his mom's name happens to be Shlomis Bastivi L'matei Dan. Okay, her name is Shlomis. V'enechuba Mishmar L'Yifrol Shlohem Al Pi Hashem. So they put him in jail so that God will tell him what to do. So they didn't know what the halacha was. They didn't know the halacha of what? What did they know?
Which Mishmar.
Right, they didn't know. So they didn't know what the punishment. As they thought it was wrong, but they know the punishment. And Judah, you were saying what? That they knew the punishment was, it's a capital crime, they didn't know what type of punishment. Right. Okay. So then, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, so Hashem speaks to Moshe. Hotzi Yisam Kalal Mechutz Barachana, take out the one who cursed to outside the camp. V'samchu Kol Hashem Meshidei Marosho, V'ragmu Osel Kol Eida. So what's the punishment?
Skila.
Skila, right? They're going to stone him. Okay, so the punishment of this is stoning. Anyone who curses God, then he bears his sin. Someone, I guess, commits, this also seems to be some kind of cursing, mentioning the name of Hashem. He should, cursing with the name of Hashem. Then he also should die. He is stoned. Right, so with the stranger, the citizen, so that's the same punishment. Someone kills another person, he's put to death. And if you smite, if you kill an animal, so it's nefesh tachas nefesh. Okay, I don't know what that means. What do you think it means? Probably monetary. I assume you don't get put to death for killing an animal, right? And then it says v'ishki tein mum ba miso. If you wound your friend, Kasher Sokin Yosalo, whatever happens, whatever you did to him, that should be done to you. Shever Tacha Shever, Ayin Tacha Shayin, Shin Tacha Shin, Kasher Yitem Mum Badam Kin Yosalo. So, and eye for an eye, I guess we understand that literally. Umak Behemi Shalmed, Umak Adam Yumas, if you smite an animal, you pay money. If you smite a person, you're put to death. Mishbarecha Yelachem Kagir Kazrach, Yea Kinesha Mokecha. Same law for a stranger, for a citizen, because I'm Hashem your God. But everyone shows Abin Eso, Vyotsu, Asamakala, Bechutsamachana, Vigubo So, Aven. And Moshe told this to Bnei Israel. They took the one who cursed outside the camp and they stoned him. Now, is there like a little TMI going on here? Like,
well, there's a lot of problems with it.
What?
There's a lot of problems with it from how we understand the law.
What do you mean?
It's no Israel. You're specifying what the punishment is after the person already did the crime.
Right.
The person shouldn't be Chayav Mesa. There shouldn't be a way to make him Chayav Mesa.
Right. You know, in other words, if this was following the letter of the law, on the surface, it doesn't seem that there was any warning, because they don't know what the punishment should be. Mm-hmm. You could make an argument. This is actually a discussion in Masechta Sanhedrin. It could be that there's a question. If you, let's say if you tell someone that something's forbidden and the penalty is a death penalty, but you don't know what penalty it is that considered sufficient asra? There's a discussion about this. But in when Hashem's telling the Bnei Yisrael, when Hashem's telling Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael about all these laws, does this seem to make sense in the context of this story? What are you saying? Hashem's telling Moshe all these halachos. There's Moshe. What happens?
So you're juxtaposing the curse with a murder. You know, like
you're, right, and it, well, right, if, you know, I mean, there have all these other laws. You know, they don't know what to do with this guy, so they put him in jail. And I would expect what God would say. Okay, the punishment is death, or the punishment is stoning. And then I would have skipped to Pasuk Chav Gimel. What are all these other psukim about? If you smite someone, or you injure an animal, you kill an animal.
Right? It's like a free association.
But... yeah, I think it seems to be out of place. So,
but did it say inside that they actually did kill him, or that's what he's done to someone who does that?
But then it said at the very end of Pasuk Gimel, it says, "V'nei Yisrael also kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe." The B'nai Yisrael did what Hashem commanded. So they killed him then. So I'm interested in why does this, number one, why does this narrative interrupt the book of mitzvot, so to say, for Yikra? I'm interested in why the interruption about the laws of one who kills a person versus an animal, why we have that, the whole discussion here. And what's also interesting is he's called a Ben Ish Mitzri. Like, what's the significance there? Right? He was the son of a Jewish woman and an Egyptian man. So what's going on with that? So,
who did the cursing? The Ben Yisraelis or the Ish Yisrael?
I think the Ben...
Ben Yisrael.
But he called Ben Ish Yisraelis as a shame. So they cursed. I guess he used God's name to curse. Ve Kalel, and he cursed. So it seems the half-Jew... I mean, I'm not saying half-Jew, but like the one who had a Jewish mom, not Jewish dad. Or Egyptian dad, Jewish mom. So he did that. So it says also... So we're gonna sort of... take this story apart by looking at the first phrase, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. He went out. What does it mean he went out? Where did he go out from? Like, think about the parsha of Vayetze Yaakov. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. He left. Right, so he went off to Derech. This is OTD, first case of OTD. Okay. Right, what else? So now there is, usually you go out from a certain place. So the truth is, Rashi has three different explanations based on different midrashim. So Rashi first says, "Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis mehechan yatsa." From where did he go out? So Rabbi Levi Omer, "Meolam yatsa." Yeah, he went off in this world. So close. There's a Sefer Achinuch. If you skip the Sefer Achinuch, look what he says: "Mishar Shem Mitzvah Hashem." When you curse, when you commit blasphemy with God, so it's not actually clear. Did he curse the man using God's name? Or did he curse God out? Right? So it says that so, but Birkos Hashem, so if you curse out God, it's a euphemism, Birkos Hashem, blessing God. Lefisha misrokin ha'ad b'mamar hara ha'hu mikol ha'tova. This person empties out with this bad speech from any goodness. V'chol hod nafsho nepach l'mashchis. And the glory of your soul is turned to a destroyer. He's like an animal. That with that thing that God separated us from an animal, we became a person. Like, you know, when someone says, "You're acting just like an animal." Vildachaya. I think it's Yiddish, it means yeah. Wild animal. Yeah. Wild. I don't know a lot of Yiddish, but I think it's a Vildim, it gets as wild. Did you hear, right? You're from the Altaheim, right? The old country. So, right, so an animal, so what distinguishes man from speech, from animals? So he's saying speech. So if you use your speech in a destructive manner, you're just like an animal. That's what he's saying here. Mavdi was asked by the Rom, and maybe asked by the Gami called Gedder Adas. So you're like, you remove yourself from any, you know, Das, the special knowledge that man has. Venasik kisheretz nimas venalach lumatimena. You're like an insect. So that's when you curse out God. So you're like an animal. So in other words, blasphemy. According to the first opinion, it was blasphemy, and that's sort of the debasement of human dignity. you're basically, when you do that, when if we commit, if someone commits blasphemy, you're sort of erasing the divine image in man. Now, we were created b'tzem Elokim, so perhaps one way of understanding b'tzem Elokim is through speech. That could be the first explanation. Okay. That's what he went out. He left his humanity. Rav Berechia Omer, miparsha shelamal yatsa. He left from the previous parsha. So the previous parsha is about the, I brought it here, about the section about the loaves of bread. And he said, ligleg va'amar, like the lechem aparim, ligleg va'amar b'yom ha'shav shirchenu. So what happens? He says that on Shabbos, you should arrange the bread. Derech ha'melech lechol pascham v'chol yom. It's the way of the king to eat bread, warm bread every day. Oshema pasunet shel tisha yamim bitmia. The bread's going to get cold for 9 days. What does it mean? Because they would bake the bread on Friday, and they would eat it the following Shabbos. So like this is ridiculous. So he knows he's mocking the previous halacha. Okay, that's the second explanation. He started mocking the halacha, and then he cursed God. So the first two explanations are in a sense that perhaps he committed blasphemy against God. We don't know why the first one did, the first reason why he cursed out God, but the first you say he cursed out God. And the third is the most, that we're going to spend the most time focusing on. The third explanation is from another midrash. What does it mean he left? He left Moshe's court. Why did he go to Moshe's court? Balita ahalo besoch machne dad. He wants to set up camp by Machne Dan. Why does he want to set up camp by Machne, by the Dan camp?
That's where his mother was from.
That's where his mother's from. You understand the problem, right? Where do the half Jews? Where do they set up camp? Right. So Amru lo Mativ Chalakan. What are you doing here? And he said, I'll pay for half the meal. Right, what are you doing here? So Amar Lahem Ibnei Danani, I'm from the children of Dan. Amar Lo Isha Diglov Osus of Esav Asav. You know, see, it says that you go by patrilineal descent for if you want to have a plot, if you want to be part of the tribe. Nichas of Beisino Shemosha B'yatzim Mechuyav. So he entered into the court of Moshe and he left. And he was found to be not in the right. And then Amar Vigidev. So what did he do? So he is he had an unfavorable verdict, therefore he cursed out God. Right? So
where should he have been?
So I don't know. Probably not. He's like no man's land, presumably. He's not with any of the tribes. I don't know where he would be, but he doesn't belong to that tribe. So this is obviously a different situation. In other words, is he like a Mitzri and like an Egyptian regarding the Nachla, or like a Yisraeli? So, first of all, just want to point out, so the Ramban, if you go down, the Ramban writes, Umasha Amar B'toras Konim B'soch B'nei Yisrael. What does it mean? Look what he said. It says, he was a Benish Mitzri B'soch B'nei Yisrael amongst, why does it say B'soch B'nei Yisrael? What do you mean he was amongst the B'nei Yisrael? So Malamed Shinistkayer, he converted. Now you're gonna ask me why do you need to convert, right? Right, his mom is Jewish. So the interesting is that Eino Sheid Starech Begerus Elakichol Yisrael Shinechzu Lebrius Bemila Vutvila Vartzas Dalim Mishas Matan Torah. It should be like any Jew who enters into a covenant with Mila Tvila and the Korban at time Matan Torah. Aval Niskav Nilomar Shalach Achrei Imo Benidbak Bisrael Velo Ratzalach Achrei Aviv. Leos Mitzri. So the Ramban says that he converted and he wanted to go after his mom, not after his dad. Now there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says that for the non-Jews, you generally go after the father. In other words, for the non-Jews, the lineage follows the father. So could be before Matan Torah, right? Before Matan Torah, he's like a non-Jew, and therefore, but he's still converted. And after he converts, so then he's saying, "I converted. I'm a Jew. I want to. I want a portion amongst Dan. And Moshe says, no. So he's really upset. So he curses out God. Okay. Now, so maybe the whole story is that someone, in the heat of an argument, curses out God. So what's interesting is, so why is this so bad? So it's not clear. So you can argue that he cursed out God, or maybe if you look in Shmos Chav Beis Chav Zayin, Elokim Los Kalel V'Nasibim Chalos Or, you shouldn't curse out also. This could mean God. It could mean a judge. And the Rashbam says Elokim Los Kalel Dibar Kasu Behoveh Lefi Shemlochim V'Dayanim Donim Dinim Omnos V'Nefashos Regilim B'Neyam Nekalam. If you're a judge, so basically people are going to generally curse you out, right? The Supreme Court has a low approval rating. Right, because people don't like to, right? So what happens is that maybe what happened was he felt that he was unjustly treated, so maybe he cursed out Moshe. Did he curse out God? Rabbeinu Bachaye has an interesting explanation. Rabbeinu Bachaye says, look what he writes here. Vayinatzu b'machane, yesh li shol, you can ask. Im hayu shneihem ruim zeh im zeh, lama zeh yivarach shem al zos. Remember, he was fighting with someone else. We still don't know why he was fighting. So maybe he was fighting because one of them said, why are you doing this property? You're not from Sheva Dan. Why are they fighting? Why would he curse out God or curse someone with God's name because of this? Hayaroi lo lisraim al Moshe o sheyakenu v'yargenu. Or maybe he should curse out Moshe, or he should hit him or kill him. Why is he cursing out God? So what happened here? Aval yitachin lomar ki ish ha-yisraeli siper lo inyan aviv ha-nerag. What did the guy tell him? He told him about his father who was killed. V'hiskir lo he'achaysa misaso. And he told him how he was killed. Ki Moshe harago b'shim hamforash. Moshe killed him. In other words, he is the same Mitzri. See, this is what's called, and I think it's called like a biblical method. What?
Yes.
No, it's called like conservation of characters. In other words, when the Torah doesn't tell you who someone is, we assume that it's like if it says the Mitzri, so it's one Mitzri. So where else do we find the Mitzri? Oh. There's the Mitzri. We found like why is this Ben? Who Ben Ish Mitzri? So when else do we find a Ben Ish Mitzri? When do we find an Ish Mitzri? So we find there was an Ish Mitzri, right? When Moshe hit him. So you think about it. So the other guy said, "Oh yeah, you know, I know who you are. you're the guy who only has a mom but doesn't have a dad because Moshe killed him, and he used the Shem Hamaforash." Right, Ki Moshe Aragav Shem Afarash Ulafichach Vayikov Ben Aisha Israelis Es Hashem V'Kalel Kolomar Es Hashem Conversation of biblical characters. Right, Kolomar Es Hashem Sheshama B'Sinai Perash V'Kilel. So he says his father was killed by Moshe through the use of God's name. So now he uses the Shem Hamforash and curses out God. Okay. So again, so what do we have here so far? We have a couple of potential stories here. So we have one story about maybe he was mocking the previous halacha, that's what you'd say, or he had gone to court with Moshe, and either it was a question about do I belong to Sheva Dan or not, or, right, that's one possibility, or maybe it wasn't court. Maybe they just got into a fight, and basically because of this Ben Ish Mitzri, where someone was sort of reminding him that his father died, and therefore he curses out God. Okay, now says the Abarbanel. So you have different theories here. So in other words, okay. So Abarbanel says the following: Vashomim heviuhu el Moshe l'dei mayaselo. So the people who heard this guy curse out God. Or maybe curse out someone in the name of God, maybe. So it probably cursed out God, right? Because it says, tell Bnei Israel, someone who curses out God and he bears his sin. right? It's probably, right, cursed out God. But the Barbanel says, Vashomim heviu al Moshe ladas mayesalo. So the people listen, brought him to Moshe to find out what should happen to him. Venerally, it seems to me, she Israel nistapku bedino im yehareg, kevin shekilo Hashem hanichbad biyosim Yisrael. If he's killed, since he cursed out God when he was a Jew, v'chayav v'mora v'kavod Hashem, and he's liable for fearing and honoring God. Oli pater mizeh biyosa ben ish mitzri, shleichai mitzvos liyosa mitzri. Because he was not like, he was an Egyptian. So maybe it's different rules. Vaya makom safek im yadinuhu ki Yisrael achai ve'okifi ha'e misa. So in other words, he's got a Jewish mom, a non-Jewish dad. Is he put to death like a Hebrew, or maybe he's like, oh, Hamitzri kaviya av v'yipater. Maybe he's an Egyptian, and he doesn't get the punishment. Therefore, they bring him to Moshe. Shifarish lahem esadin, that he would explain to them the halacha. Now, did they warn him, did they not? That's a great question. Was this like a harasha, once in a, you know, was this like an unusual circumstance?
Well, I mean, how do you warn someone not to curse someone, but you don't, I mean, if you have no idea what they're about to do?
Right, so you'd have to say, in general, you'd have to say that, like, I said, I'm going to curse, like, you're right, you would have, in general, like, if you think about it, I'm just being very, you know, clear about this, it's very hard to get the death penalty in Jewish law. If someone's a serial murderer, for example, it's very hard for him to get the Jewish law according to the strict letter of the law, because you would have to go up to the serial murderer and say, oh, I see you that you are about to pull the trigger. You should know that if you do that, you'll be put to death. Right. The person said, oh, avo bichen. That's not how serial murderers typically work. Now, again, there's something else called for the protection of society. There could be other ways to do it. But you're right. To put someone to death, you need to warn them. And there's a discussion whether you need to... Do you need to warn them that it's wrong? Do you need to warn them about that it's a capital crime? Do you need to warn about the specific punishment? If you need to warn them about the specific punishment, then obviously this would be a problem.
If there's an additional conceptual issue with it, if you take the Rabbi Mathias position, which is it's a heat-of-the-moment utterance,
right,
which has its own classifications.
Right.
Within law,
right. Now,
it's still is problematic even if you don't need to warn.
Right. So is it a yeah? In other words, if you're warned, how long does the heat of the moment last? Right. Now, presumably, right, if you're warned and you still have that heat of the moment, I don't care. Then I don't know if halacha makes a distinction. That you sort of have to have some knowledge, right? It's an interesting point.
Specifically utterances.
Yeah,
it's in reference to it. This is the punishment.
Yeah,
God.
Isn't Birkas
Hashem one of Sheva
Mitzvot? It is. So why was he chayv? It's a good question. I'm not sure what they knew.
Should
what
have
they
been chayv.
Yeah, I don't know what they knew. What they didn't know at this point. It's a fair point. Yeah, I'm not sure if they knew. Maybe the laws of the Sheva Mitzvot were not known to them definitively, right? Things that we know in the Gemara. I'm not sure what they knew. What they didn't know. So in sum. In other words, the unclear parentage of this person led to confusion as to the punishment. So basically, you have the status of the Ben Mitzri explains the reason for the dispute. He wanted the land. It could be that the reason for his cursing, his father was killed using God's name, so he uses the same way to curse, and why there's confusion. Maybe there are different rules for the individual, for this individual. Now, so it could be that if you think about it now, remember that Hashem goes on a digression there, and you should know, if you kill someone, you're put to death. If you kill an animal, so there's, you only pay. If you injure someone, you pay. But you know what line he adds? He says a few times, kager kezrach. It's the same rule for the ger and the ezrach. He says that in Pasuk Tezayin, and also in Pasuk Chafes, Mishmach Echad Yelachem Kager Kezrach. So this guy, he might be like a ger, sort of. Did he convert? Did he convert? He's like a half Jew. So maybe the part of the question that the Bnei Yisrael want to know is, what do we do with this half Jew? I mean, what do we do with this person with unclear parentage? And Hashem is saying, in cases of torts, in cases of, you know, blasphemy, in case of cursing someone with Hashem's name. So all of these situations, kager kezrach, we treat the full Jew and the stranger, or is it someone, the convert maybe, it's unclear what the ger means. Someone who's not, you know, comes perhaps with unclear parentage, we treat them the same thing. Okay? The law of the damages mentioned here is to convey that the same ruling applies for a stranger or a native-born Jew. There's one claim for the one who, it's the same halacha, you know, for someone who commits blasphemy. So, that perhaps can explain this. Now, the final piece, which I didn't get to, is why, what's the message of the story? Or why is the story, what's the story dealing with here? Right? These last few parshios, Kedoshim Emor, is about Kedusha, and it's about holiness, right? And maybe the location of the story is that one expression of holiness is speech, and to avoid cursing. And there's a death penalty, right? You know, for example, if we curse a parent, and there's a death, I think we mentioned that in Parshas Kedoshim. And also there's a death penalty if we curse God. And maybe then, the message of this story, again, the book of Vayikra is all about laws. And they put the story in here, because they want to sometimes stories are good to teach you things. Because when you just teach halacha, people fall asleep. But when you tell a good story, then people hopefully stay awake. So our story can illustrate a point sometimes better than simply the bottom line halacha. So what is this story telling us? The story is telling us it's a story of a person who was excluded from Kedusha. Now, why is that? Could be for a few reasons. Maybe he was excluded from Kedusha, from this, you know, this, we're talking about Kedusha, to remain in a state of sanctity. Maybe it was his mother's sin of intermarriage or having relations with a man. Or maybe from her assimilation. That could be one way of looking at the story. Or maybe, I like to say, that's not so relevant for us, hopefully, but maybe the story is trying to tell us, like we have these grand visions of Kedusha, of being a holy nation and a holy people and acting in a holy way. And we see how, like, Kedusha, it's so easy for Kedusha to be undone through maybe mockery, through fighting, through anger. Now, this is a regular story of people. This one gets upset at this one. So, you know, you come in, you with a group of people, you're in a bad mood, and he's in a bad mood, and you say something, and the other says something back, and back, and back, and back. And maybe, after telling us these beautiful halachos about how we could achieve the status of Kedusha, the Torah tells us, yeah, but you know what? If you're not careful, and you're not sensitive, even about speech, then the Kedusha can be undone so easily, right? In other words, it's easier, you know, can the Torah control, we talked about this a lot, our thoughts, our beliefs, so maybe that's more difficult. You know, actions, we have to be kadosh in our actions, but also Kedusha in our speech and how very important it is. And again, even if, you know, his claim is to, he feels bad, he feels, you know, I should be from Shevet Dan, you should be kind to the stranger, and we should feel bad for him. But I think the Torah is trying to tell us how we really have to work on every, even the smallest amount of our behavior, even in our speech, so we maintain that Kedusha that we so desperately want, and to live a life of holiness, of really where we're living on an elevated level. It really starts from small things. And this is a story of how a small thing turned into a big thing, which unfortunately had fatal consequences.